Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rise and shine, Atlanta. I am Bo Morgan. They call me Squidbilly. He's the All-American National Champion, former Atlanta Falcon. Michael, don't ask him what the P stands for, Johnson. She's not with us, but in spirit, the queen of Atlanta improv, a tofu taster, the first lady of Atlanta baseball, Miss Allie Mack. She is on vacation. She will be back with us Monday, I believe, in time for Atlanta, the Falcons, Bills. And we have him, throwing in chiming in from here to there and making terrible fried chicken sandwich list and waving creepily to my left, which you don't know that, but I do, Mr. Dylan Dylon Matthews. And with our forces combined, we are the greatest morning sports talk radio show in the history of Atlanta since, the existence of this station anyways. We are the morning shift.
I keep waiting on you to come up with a new nickname for me.
What do you want to be called?
I don't know.
You don't like any of the ones I have already.
I was filming the videos that we were doing for our appearance tomorrow, Publix, right?
Yeah.
And
Tailgate at Home's back.
Tailgate at Home's back. We'll be live from Publix in Buckhead tomorrow. So come out and hang out with us, obviously. But I was filming the video and I was like, hey, man, it's Mike here, your friendly neighborhood offensive lineman. And I was like, what? And I got done and I turned the video off and I was like, what was I just talking about?
Your
Where did that come from?
Friendly neighborhood offensive lineman. Now, one thing is very important when you're doing videos of showcasing your meat is using your hands a lot. Was there a lot of hand usage in this video?
I think you got to draw a line. You don't want the hands to kind of take over the video and become the focal point.
Well, my hands are not big enough to do that. So.
Well, you have a lot of hand motion. There's no doubt about it. And I think it's important to do that. But there are times, like Saban used to do this all the time. Like, he'd be at the podium and he'd talk so much with his hands that it'd be a little bit over the top. You'd be like, hey, why is his hands moving so much?
Yeah, but then he would also slam the podium and the Coke bottle would start, like, hopping.
And all this comes back to the fact that today at 7:40 for Mic'd Up, I'm going to do a buy or sell kind of stock thing on college football quarterbacks. And I was trying to think of a name that would go along the lines for you and I in terms of, like, being day traders. And all I had was Bo the Broker and Mutual Fund Mike.
Mutual Fund Mike.
That was like, pretty good.
I was like, I'm not sure if there's any better ones out there. Maybe there are, but that's all I've got right now.
To give you a pause moment, I like yours better than mine.
Okay. That is a pause moment.
Hey, yo.
Anyways, man, we got so much stuff to get to today. A lot of fun, obviously, boys edition here of the morning shift. Just a couple of headlines to get to. Tigers tied up their ALDS series with the Mariners to set up a winner-take-all game 5. That'll be a lot of fun.
Go Tigers.
Cubs forced games 4 with a 4-3 win over the Brewers yesterday. Phillies forced game 4, 8-2, win over the Dodgers. And the Blue Jays advanced to the ALCS with a 5-2 win. We'll get you set all day today for the Eagles traveling to New York to take on the Giants on Thursday Night Football. NCAA a little bit closer to letting Division I athletes bet on pro sports, and the Bengals have named Joe Flacco their starting quarterback against the Green Bay Packers.
I want to talk about Flacco, but that NCAA thing is a debacle. That is a terrible road to go down. Letting them, I don't think it's too much to ask to not bet on sports while you're an athlete making money in sports. I think you have to be really careful. With college students in that, like, in the same sport. I mean, because here's the deal. You play with guys, they go to the league, you have information. Different sport, I'm okay with, but did I hear you say that they would college football players could move moving forward. Maybe we'll have an opportunity to bet on NFL.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a terrible. That is a terrible decision because there are relationships where you work out with guys that come back to school during the off season, or you know, coaches leave and go different places. It's too much of a relationship business for that one. If you want to bet on the NBA, that's fine. I even worry about that one, but you want to bet on the NBA, that's fine, but not the same sport.
Well, let me tell you why I think this decision happened in the end. I think there's a lot of people that probably feel the same way you do, and I think there's people inside the NCAA that feel the way you do. I think it's just a matter of policing. I think this is NCAA going, dude, we can't police this. We don't have the numbers. We don't have the ability to police any of this. And it's going to be to the point where it feels like over the last couple of years, every month you're going to get some kind of betting scandal that comes out. And it's like, well, these kids bet on this. And when it comes down to it, if you play for, San Jose State and you're betting on a New York Jets game, it really just, it doesn't matter. Okay. And your guess, a lot of times, their guess is going to be just as good as yours. And even if you do have insight into these locker rooms, the players don't know how the game's going to end up most of the time. Now, there is probably some inside knowledge, and you have to bet on that. I'm not taking that away from like things like props and things like that, but they'll be able to flag those things anyways. I just think that this is the NCAA just straight up being like, dude, there's no way we can police this, and we don't want these headlines to keep coming out every 3 weeks.
Yeah, and that's fine. That makes sense. You know, the Flacco thing as well is interesting because I feel, and I kind of did when we talked about it yesterday, I feel like they want him to step in and utilize the weapons they have without putting the ball in harm's way, and they think that he's going to be good enough as a veteran quarterback processing to see what you're showing and get the ball out. And,
yeah.
And I thought that originally, and it by them immediately making him the starter, I think it proves that.
Yeah. No, I think the only shocking thing for me is how quickly it happened. I do want to get to this sound. Let's hear from Zach Taylor. He's talking about Joe Flacco being the starting QB.
He's played Green Bay this year, so he's already gone through a week of prep. Now, the communication and the weekly rhythm is maybe different, unique, but he's already prepared for this opponent. He's played Green Bay this year.
Yeah, you said that. He's played Green Bay this year. No, I think that's really the key takeaway, right? Because I think that when you trade for a guy like this midseason, especially after the performances that Jake Browning has had, and you cut Mike White and all this other shuffling is going along, and your squad is hanging on by a thread, right? The belief in the quarterback and the offense and everything else kind of hanging on by a thread. I think the shocking part is just simply the fact that he's doing it. He's going to start 6 days after he gets there. And I think that's crazy in one way, but when he talks about it, you might know the opponent, but it doesn't mean you're going to know every single route that your guys are running. And I think the fact that Joe Flacco's 40, I guess, helps in that vein. But I don't know, man. It's a quick turnaround to think that you're going to just put a guy in this offense and he's going to know all the calls, know all the checkdowns, and be able to dice him up just because he's already played him this year.
Yeah, I think the other thing that's interesting is the trade deadline is essentially a month away, November 4th. Okay, that's the 2025 trade deadline. If Flacco can come in, look, I don't think you're looking – I don't think you personally think Flacco is the starter the rest of the year. We still don't know what the timeline is for Burrow. True. Is he ahead of schedule? Is he off? But the other thing is, can you get me two or three games, couple wins, and then I know where Flacco is. I mean Flacco, where Burrow is, right? Or do I think I can make it to the postseason and bring Burrow back? Or do I need to trade for someone? Or is the season over and I'm not going to rush Burrow back and I'll just roll out whatever moving forward? You know, maybe Jake Browning comes back. So I think you have. There's three different places you could be come that week where it helps you kind of hash out if you need to make another move or not.
Yeah. I think that there's something to be said about that, kind of getting all your cards out on the table, right? And you know, just saying, hey, look, let's figure this thing out. I also think that there is this pressure for whatever reason on Zach Taylor because of the weapons you do have offensively to make sure you get it right at the quarterback position that maybe you don't have in other places. You know, this is not the Cleveland Browns where you've had, you know, 35 starting quarterbacks in the last 10 years. You know, it's not that kind of situation. But it's not like the Bengals have just always had that guy. You know what I mean? They've been through a couple quarterbacks, too. You know, dating all the way back to, obviously, Carson Palmer and Andy Dalton and guys like that. So, I don't know, man. It just feels like there's this pressure on Zach Taylor to say, all right, let's get this thing knocked out and move forward from that. Thursday Night Football going on tonight. Eagles, like we talked about, traveling New York, take on the Giants.
Hey, real quick.
Go ahead.
On that game.
Yeah.
If I told you Saquon Barkley's had one game where he's after five, where he's rushed over 85 yards, and the Eagles were, what, 4-1, would you believe me?
No, but it does go back to the fact that I think last week one of the bigger stats was that Saquon had one carry in the second half of that game in that loss. I'd see the news coming out, and I think this happened maybe 2 days ago, but I saw the news coming out yesterday that that Jalen Hurts and Saquon and A.J. Brown kind of had a meeting, all three together, to try to sort this thing out. That's such an interesting dynamic on that offense because, this before, they have like five offensive captains. Like Devontae Smith wears a C. A.J. Brown wears a C. Lane Johnson wears a C. They all, like, you know, going all the way back to, you know, when Kelsey was there, he had a C on too.
Two of those guys in that meeting I consider leaders. I don't know where I stand on that leadership role with A.J. Brown anymore. I mean, he clearly quit on the route that where the famous overthrow from that game.
Yeah.
Where they're like, oh, Jalen missed him. He was wide open. Well, he pulled up. He stopped his route and started again. I don't want to say quit. That's probably the wrong term, but that's essentially what you do when you stop and then start again because you see the ball in the air. I think Jalen Hurts is the ultimate leader, and I feel like Saquon Barkley showed that last year as well.
I'm not sure there's a better leader in the NFL than Jalen Hurts. He might be one of the best leaders we've ever seen in the NFL.
I think Mahomes is a really good leader as well, and I think that to have success, sustained success, even when your offense isn't the best unit on a team, but when you're the best player on said team and still able to win, it shows leadership value where, you know, players don't get upset. And a lot of, you know, even with all the discontent Travis Kelce showed at times, he's never said one word. He might have had that moment where I'm blanking tired of this earlier in the season, but who was that aimed towards? And it really didn't get off the rails. They just keep kind of chugging along. I know they're 2-3, but their offense is starting to pick it up. I think Mahomes goes in there as well.
Did you see that Chris Jones deleted his social media account?
Probably because he got tired of seeing people him for quitting on a play.
He did.
Because he did quit on that play. I think that's fair.
A lot of people have said, like, maybe they thought he thought he was down in the backfield. I don't know, man.
I've
struggled with that.
And he's supposed to be a leader on defense.
I've struggled with that one since it happened, man. So, and obviously, we talked about that just a couple of days ago. All right, man. Hey, when we come back, we're going to talk more about those Atlanta Falcons. Monday Night Football just now a few days away. Are there any changes on offense you want to see? And what does Raheem Morris think about the notion that this offense is predictable? That's coming up on the other side. Stick with us. It's the Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Yo, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in. It is the Morning Shift. Tell me you're not thinking about that scene from Step Brothers where they're in the car. You know what I mean? Where they're all doing the where the family is singing. That's such a good scene, dude.
No, I was because I just finished watching, like rewatching / watching half of the seasons for the first time of The Office.
Yeah,
and this is the song that Dwight and what's it, Angela? got married to.
Yeah.
But it was like the harp, you know, the non-lyrical, the instrumental.
Yeah, tough word.
Dude, speaking of which, I was on Twitter, and there's a Twitter account I follow. And I know
you were? No.
Are you done? There's a Twitter account I follow. It's a guy named Kevin Gallagher, and it's all old school, like, football stuff, right? And it's really like he's the NFL, considers himself NFL historian, and I see this Monday Night Football clip from 1990, and it's got, I don't know if you remember that, you're a little young for this, I don't remember when they quit doing this, but back in the day when they would do Monday Night Football, the intro would be a helmet of one team would drop, be like this massive helmet, it would drop on a football field, and they would talk about that team, and then the other helmet would drop, and they would talk about that team, and then the helmets would lift up and hit each other and explode, and then it would do 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 do, and it would be like Hank Williams Jr. Monday Night Football.
Oh right, yeah.
And they did one from 1990. I guess it was October 8th, 1990, and it was John Elway and the Denver Broncos. Playing at home against the Cleveland Browns, which was those were two powerhouses back then. You know, that was the Denver team that had just went to the Super Bowl and been embarrassed by the Niners for the fourth Super Bowl win for the Niners. It was 55-10.
That was the Jeremiah Castile. Was that before his time? That was the Ernest Biner play with Jeremiah Castile knocked the fumble out.
That was the 80. That was 86, I think.
Okay.
I think that was the 86, you know, where Elway leads him down the field.
Yeah.
And wins in Cleveland.
So the Ernest Biner fumble caused by Jeremiah Castile. And he was our team pastor at Alabama. And he's always just famed for that play.
Maybe that was the 89 one, because that was that's where sometimes my knowledge kind of gets iffy, but
yeah,
the 89.
I was like 2 years old, so.
But yeah. No, that was not that game, because the Broncos won that game big. So that was the 86 one, I think.
Yeah, let's get back into talking about Atlanta Falcons. Before we do, just want to remind you guys, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game is your home of live football coverage, and we're gonna get your we're gonna get your morning started on Friday with the tailgate at home presented by Publix. Bo Morgan, fire up the grill and share his favorite game day recipes, and you can share your best work on the grill by tweeting at the Morning Shift at 92.9 Morning Shift. That's the tailgate at home presented by Publix. Feed your fandom. Feel the hype this year with Publix every Friday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Hey, that's me.
That's him. And we'll be there live in Buckhead at Publix tomorrow morning. So
I'm
make
excited.
Sure you guys put that one down. If
I'm the meat man.
Yeah. I'm the snack man. I'm just throwing that out there.
What are you,
just snacking.
Hey, you got to stop nicknaming yourself, man.
Yeah.
Dude, I grilled Tuesday night.
Yep.
Oh man, I did some country style ribs and some grilled chicken. I put the Buffalo Wild Wings spicy garlic sauce.
Oh yeah, I do know. I put that a little bit too spicy for me, to be honest.
Oh, well, that's tastes good on my grilled chicken.
Yeah, I don't do spice. Hey, let's talk about Raheem Morris a little bit. We've been talking about, Lord knows, I've been one of the biggest critics of this offense, and I don't think predictability is the word. I think it's just very vanilla. I don't think you necessarily know whether it's going left, right, down the middle, and who's getting the ball. I just think there's a database of like 12 plays. So let's go with that. Raheem Morris was kind of asked about it a couple days ago. This was his response.
I think I heard, I don't know what it was. I was laughing when it happened, but it said, this team's run 80% of pistol and they run. I'm like, yeah, it's a run situation. We're running. Stop us. You know, it's like one of those type of things, right? So it's like the good teams do what they do consistently. That's what they do. And the good teams are teams that can change up when they need to. And I think we're the good teams. We're going to be one of those good teams that be able to do whatever you need to do to go out there and win. We've seen this in the past, win it throwing the ball a million times. We've seen this in the past, being able to run it a bunch of times. And we've seen this in the past on defense, be able to stop the run. And we've seen this in the past on defense, be able to stop the pass. And then on special teams, we've had to win the game on special teams before. And we got to find ways to do those things. I think the most important things for us is scoring touchdowns, stopping touchdowns, and finding ways to get the ball back for our guys and really maintaining possession.
Here's where I'm at on this, because I completely agree with what he's saying, that the good teams do what they do, and they do it well. I think the good defenses, though, know what the good teams do and can stop it. You know what I mean? The problem is, I don't think we're multifunctional on offense. I think that we struggle in short yardage because we are so built for wide zone and vice versa. So I don't know. I understand what Raheem's trying to say. It's like, hey, if we are good at the pistol, we're going to run pistol. You and I think we've been on the same page where it's not necessarily the Pistons' fault. It's just it's a function of the absolute, the whole offense and the whole playbook. But Raheem, I don't know. I felt like he kind of missed the mark here, where it's like, that's just kind of is what it is. No, you can change. No, there's self-scouting. Change your defense last year. Added a couple more components to that.
Well, yeah, but it was an emergency break glass situation, and really all the main thing they really did was stop playing 15 yards off of receivers at the line of scrimmage. I mean, I know they did other things, but that was the gist of it, right?
Yeah.
If you want to simplify it to the most simplistic form of it, is they stopped playing off. This is one of those things where I'm going to tell you, listen to what he's saying. First off, I had this argument weeks ago about balance on offense. There is no such thing as a balanced offense to me. As far as every team wants to run out and run it, if you have 50 plays in a game, you want to run it 25 and throw it 25. That's the dumbest thing ever. But I think that's what people think in balance. Balance is, to me, what a real balanced offense is in the NFL. And really, in college, I think probably is a little bit different because I don't think college coaches give a damn about balance. I think they just want it. If they find something, a weakness to exploit, they just hammer it until you stop it. But real balance is exactly what Raheem just said. Good teams do whatever it needs to do. So if I'm going against a defense that's playing a two deep safety look predominantly, I need to run the football on early downs against that defense and keep the sticks moving and take what they're giving me. A good offense will take what a defense is giving them, and a good offensive coordinator will find out, what do I do well that they're going to give me and let me exploit it to put myself in good situations. And I think he's saying, we're going to do what we do. What I fear from that is saying, okay, are there looks that I can, that they show a lot, or a defense that they like to play, their style, and is there something that fits what I do well that I can take advantage of it? So it might not just be running the pistol, but what out of the pistol can I do that I'm going to be able to take advantage of what they want, how they want to play? Are you following?
I am. And look, I'm following Raheem too. Don't get me wrong. I think that Raheem knows more football than you and I do, right?
Hell yeah.
Raheem knows.
If he doesn't, we need to switch roles.
Right. Raheem knows what a good offense is supposed to look like. But I would challenge the assertion that it just is what it is at this point, and we do it well, so we're going to keep doing it.
I think
teams are adjusting to you actively.
I think that's coach talk. Okay, that's fine.
That's fine. If that's what it is, then okay. But I just, like, this whole assertion that, like, man, people out there don't know what they're talking about when it's 80% pistol. Like, that's fine. But at some point, and I agree with you, a balanced offense doesn't mean throw 25, run 25. The same people that are asking for a balanced offense would get done with the game and go, why didn't Bijan get it more? It was like, well, we wanted to make sure that we ran it, We wanted to make sure we ran it. We wanted to make sure
again.
We threw it.
I had this argument the other day. Bijan only touched it 17 times. Or he didn't touch it enough. I go, we touched it 17 times. I don't care. And then you turn around, why didn't Tyler Adjei get more carries? Well, holy hell. You want to take him away from, you didn't want to take him away from Bijan.
Right.
But I think, again, maybe I'm just giving the benefit of the doubt, but I'm hearing, we're going to do what we do. Well, yeah, you're going to do what you do, but you are going to change based on what they're showing you. I mean, we've seen games where Michael Penix hardly threw the ball, like the Minnesota game.
Yeah.
But then we also saw the Washington and the Tampa Bay game where he threw for the sum of 300 yards in both those.
Well, and here's what I keep going back to, and maybe this is unfair. Maybe this is not the right way to do it, but I think talent-wise we match up with anybody in the NFL. I'm not talking about necessarily like a successful offense. I'm talking about the best offense in the NFL, the best play callers in the NFL, the best coordinators in the NFL, and I look at their games and I watch them. And again, it's not fair to say, well, Zach Robinson has to be Andy Reid or Sean McVay or Steve Sarkisian. Kyle Shanahan. Yeah, I went throwback right there with your Falcons OCs. I don't think it's fair to say that. But in the end, when you watch those teams, you don't ever know where the ball's going. You don't. Like, you know, we have no idea when we're watching the 49ers. They get injured. They get an injured quarterback, an injured running back, three injured wide receivers, an injured tight end, and you still don't know where the freaking ball's going.
And let's – okay, Andy Reid's been calling plays for 25 years in the NFL, over 25 years, actually. And he's been calling it longer than that because he's been a head coach for essentially 25 years.
Yep.
Kyle Shanahan grew up with one of the top 20 offensive minds in NFL history, and is also
higher than that.
And has also been calling plays for probably years,
his whole life.
Sean McVay he's got a veteran quarterback. He's a Super Bowl winning and play caller. And there's little Zach Robinson, his 20 something, and he's closer to doing this we're doing, because he did this in a different form, than he is calling plays. So I think, and I also think you got a quarterback making his eighth, ninth start in the league. I think you can get there. I'm not making excuses. I'm saying I agree that I want more out of it, but I do think that you're still learning the quarterback, what he's comfortable doing. You're doing things comfortable, and you're still kind of growing in the role. The wrinkles have to be there. It's all about wrinkles.
Yeah.
It's not about – you're all running the – am I wrong that you're all playing running about the same 10 or 15 plays?
You have the same playbook. Most of these teams have the same playbook. But I think – honestly, but I think you're kind of making my point for me. And like you said, you're not making excuses. But if that's what it's supposed to look like, and that's what Super Bowl caliber teams look like, and offensive coordinators and schemes, that's what I want our team to look like.
I don't care
if he's in year five or whatever, year two or whatever.
If I'm a defensive coordinator, I know what Sean McVay teams do. I know what Andy Reid teams and Kyle Shanahan teams do. I know what they want to do under the basis. You got to establish what your base is and then start creating wrinkles out of that to confuse. I think right now you're relying on talent a little bit, and that's fine. I don't disagree you got to develop it. I just would like to think that we're seeing it developed in front of our eyes.
Yeah.
It's not about the pistol formation.
I just think the OC has got to develop quickly, or we're going to be in a different situation. All right. We come back. We're going to talk more about college football. There is a Heisman contending quarterback that could be back in the lineup this weekend. And also, this UNC story just continues to roll on. Is Bill Belichick looking elsewhere? We'll talk about that on the other side. Sports Radio 92.9.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back in. It's Mike Johnson, Squid Billy, Bo Morgan, Dylan hanging out with you here on a Thursday morning. Just a beautiful time of year, isn't it? The temperature is supposed to be about 10 degrees colder today. And I don't know if you saw this stat yesterday, but
it is?
Yeah, temperature's dropping in the mid 70s is the high today, I believe, after it's been kind of muggy the last few days. I don't know if you saw this stat. 59 straight days with football on television starting today. Let me say that again.
So we got
59 straight.
Does that mean what I think it means? Maction. We got some Mac. I call it Mac action, but it's really Maction.
Midweek Maction. Never hurt anybody.
That made my wedding vows.
Yeah. Did it really?
Yeah. I worked in that, you know.
I don't know if that's cool or sad.
I worked. It's cool. I worked in some way, and I can't remember it, but I kind of stole a little bit of the thought process from a couples retreat.
Okay. Where
you don't want to be at Applebee's by yourself, because nobody's going to be listening to your stories at Applebee's. And I was like, because you don't want to be at Applebee's on a Tuesday night watching Maction by yourself. I was like, so.
But our rando pick of the week last week was a Maction pick.
Why are you laughing?
Because I'm just picturing you saying your wedding vows and being like, you know, I don't want to be
at Applebee's making watching midweek action. Well, yeah, we did. Was it Akron?
I heard you nailed it.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah, spot on. Akron. I forgot.
Can you really nail it when you're guessing? Like, I don't know. Like, I mean, you got that one.
Yeah, I got it right.
But look, we actually get our picks right, unlike Dukes and Bell. Their picks are terrible.
I did not get my pick right.
And let me tell you something. I saw the note on my door where somebody from Dukes and Bell left it.
It was Day Day, by the way. Oh, you didn't want me to say?
Sorry. No, I was leading up to it. I knew that it was Day Day.
Oh, my God.
I figured it out because, one, Carl's too terrible right now to talk trash. He's got like two wins. Two, the handwriting was way too good to be Mike Bell's. And, I mean, that's just not Orange style. and so I knew it was Day Day. And he wants to, like, come at me. And I'm like, hey, first off, you got to stop cherry picking your picks. You want to do it? Have someone randomly select them, and then do a complete rando that you know nothing about. Instead, they pick the game they think they're going to get right, and they're still failing.
Yeah.
So bring it, Dukes and Bell.
Yeah, we'll remind
Morning Shift will take that heat.
We'll make our picks tomorrow as well. I do want to talk a little bit about this Georgia-Auburn game. It looks like Georgia is hoping that a couple of starting injured offensive linemen can return against Auburn this weekend. Starting offensive tackle Monroe Freeling and Ernest Green III have been limited in practice this week. The Bulldogs are hoping to get at least one of them back for Saturday's game. Freeland started the past 10 games at left tackle. He left with an ankle injury, first possession of last week's victory against Kentucky. They had a couple ins and outs on the offensive line. I was watching that game. Like I said, I was in Tuscaloosa, but I watched that game along the way. It was interesting. I kind of felt bad, and I'm not going to know the guy's name right here and right now, but they had to put in a different left guard. The starting left guard comes off the field with an elbow injury. They put in the backup. What do you think Kentucky did? Ran a freaking twist stunt right at him. I mean, right at the guy on the first play. He didn't have a snowball's chance in you-know-what to be able to pick up that twist stunt. I was like, dude, that's almost mean. That's almost mean to get a left guard fresh off the sideline into the game, and they're like, oh, let's run a stunt right at him. Gunnar Stockton running for his life.
Hey, man, that's SEC football for you.
He teed him up pretty good.
Aaron Murray, this is, you know, I think we, for this rivalry being the, second college football weekend in October.
Yeah.
It's just different because we're used to it being late November, right before Georgia Tech. And Aaron Murray posted a video about this rivalry when they played that championship team.
Yeah.
And Nick Fairley.
Oh, dude.
Essentially just, like, it was like the Saints coaching staff was coaching. It was like Greg Williams was a DC for a game because Nick Fairley took every unabated shot. I mean, every late hit he could on Aaron Murray. He beat poor Aaron Murray up.
Aaron
in that
took
game.
A few of those over his day.
Yeah, and I go back and watch, and I was watching the video. And I go, man, I tell you what, he gets forgotten a little bit, you know, with Stetson doing what he did and Stafford and. But Aaron Murray was one tough SOB in Georgia, man.
I tell you, on the flip side of that, Nick Fairley was good.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness, that guy was good.
Didn't he play on a D-line in the NFL with Ndamukong Suh?
Yeah.
I think he was lazy.
Crazy stuff. I want to get to some of this Bill Belichick stuff. This kind of put out last night. I think Ollie Connolly was one of the ones that had this out on social media. Bill Belichick has discussed buyout options with North Carolina's hierarchy. Love the word hierarchy. Belichick has signaled a willingness to trigger his own $1 million buyout if he can find a soft landing with another team or in the media. Ollie Connolly goes on to quote a defensive assistant, what we've done to these kids is effed up. Wow.
Adam Schefter had a report, a tweet from North Carolina kind of saying, look, and Belichick quoting, look, I'm committed. To UNC, and I'm gonna, you know, this kind of a lot of nonsense because I'm obviously not going anywhere. But
I'll find it. You just talk. I'll find.
But here it is. He says, "Look, I'm fully committed to UNC and the program we're building here." And then Bubba Cunningham, the AD, came and over the top and stamped it. Here's the problem. Bill Belichick to me took this job for two reasons. A To use it as a jumping board back into the league, the NFL.
That's a good point. Yeah. Okay. I'll follow you there.
But the other caveat was to get his sons. Was it Steve Belichick the head coaching job? Because
are they both there now?
They are. Yeah. And he's the DC. Came back from Washington, from the University of Washington.
Yep.
The caveat, I believe, in his deal is he's the predecessor. Or the successor, not the predecessor.
The successor.
Belichick's the predecessor for
lineage,
his son.
The long lineage of Belichick.
So there's no doubt in my mind this is always a 1 to 2 year deal for him. No doubt in my mind. And if he could get an analyst job, then he would absolutely do it and trigger that $1 million buyout because he's got plenty of money in the bank.
Yeah, it's just a whole weird thing, man. That program's going nowhere fast. And somebody made the point to me yesterday, and I'm going to echo the same sentiment. If you're a UNC donor, let's just say, and you know, Stanford gets a $50 million donation. So it's kind of all along those same lines. If you're a UNC donor, would you be more willing right now to put money in the football program or the basketball program?
They're both a train wreck.
They're both a train wreck, right? But which one seems more fixable right now? The football program? I'm not giving money to Bill Belichick right now if I'm a donor at UNC.
If I'm a donor at UNC, then I'm probably a basketball guy most likely anyways. And so I'm always going to put money into the basketball program because, for one, we can talk all we want about UNC and the higher learning institution that they claim to be, even though they've let athletes cheat on exams apparently for years and basically got a slap on the wrist for it. They've always been a basketball school, okay? No one hears Duke in North Carolina and thinks, man, I'd love to go play football there. They think, basketball. It's, Tobacco Road, ACC basketball. So I'm always going to put it in the basketball. But we've also seen how quickly a basketball program can be turned around. Florida looked a little bit like middle-of-the-road program again. When Billy Donovan leaves, you get Mike White. It was just, it was kind of middle-of-the-road. And then Todd Golden comes in there, and second year, maybe third year, he's won a national title. Basketball is easier to turn around. There's less players,
right?
Less moving parts.
Agreed.
But less money.
And let me make this point, though. If you're a UNC booster, and you obviously love basketball, but if you're looking at the football program in the age of NIL and you know they're moving in the right direction and you think to yourself, man, this is an 8-win team that could really take the next step if we go out in the transfer portal and land a big defensive tackle or maybe even a star wide receiver, are you giving that money to them right now? Absolutely freaking not. There's nothing that tells me that the games I've watched UNC play, that's not a waste of money. That's where I'm at.
Look, I think you can be a two-sport team in the era of the NIL, but it's harder than people realize.
Yeah. Yeah.
It just is.
Real quick, let's talk again. We touched on this at the top of the hour. College sports, one step closer to allowing their athletes to bet on pro sports games. You don't like it.
Oh, I think
you think it's a slippery slope.
Yep.
I just simply think they can't police it. And whether that's right or wrong, maybe it is wrong that, hey, you let it happen because you can't police it. But I think the NCAA is just simply tired of seeing the headlines every 3 weeks, every month that says, oh, these athletes at Iowa State, these athletes at Arizona State, whatever it may be, have been caught gambling. It's like, dude, you know what? If the guy at Arizona State wants to flip on a Wednesday night and gamble on the Winnipeg Jets, then I think that's going to be okay. I don't think we need the negative headline every 3 weeks.
Look, we are a year or so away from having a huge scandal in college football where there's going to be I can just see it now. Something huge goes down as far as gambling scandal like we haven't seen, and if it involves an NFL player, it's going to change sports forever.
Yeah,
I mean, professional, like if they're working in unison, it could be a bad deal.
Yeah, but no, I think you're on the right track with that one. Real quick, John Mateer looks like he's officially listed as questionable to return against the Texas Longhorns. Remember, we get these reports out now, these injury reports in the SEC. Kind of all has to list everybody. I think he's going to play.
If he's questionable, he's playing.
Exactly. I don't think there's any doubt in my mind. They would not have even put this out there and laid this out to be questionable if there was no chance he was going to play. So it's crazy.
I wonder how rusty he's going to be. I think that's a real factor. Texas is a good team. They got a good defense. This game could be very low scoring.
No doubt.
No doubt.
There's two good defenses.
There's definitely some meat on the bone gambling-wise that we'll talk about tomorrow, obviously. All right, real quick, join Sports Radio 92.9 The Game after each Falcons game for the Falcons Flyover. It's your first chance to call in and react after every Falcons game, brought to you by Ticketmaster, the official ticket marketplace of the Atlanta Falcons. That's the Falcons Flyover, immediately following every Falcons game this season on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Speaking of those Falcons, we come back. We're going to have more conversations about the Atlanta Falcons. Raheem Morris laying out what improvements he wants to see after the self-scouting that happened during the bye week. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Show, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.